special guest today, Lucy Benjamin, currently here in Hairspray, of course, at the Grand Opera House, but a lot of you will have first come across Lucy in EastEnders.
Why are you trying to hurt me?
So that you get the message once and for all.
We were good together. You can't just stop loving someone.
Well, who said I ever did, I?
Well, you told me often enough.
Whoa, everybody felt for you.
That know? Takes me back a bit.
Yeah, that's a long time ago, but it was a sort of heavy part to play.
It was a great part to play, but there was a lot of crying. So, yeah.
Hold on, everybody in EastEnders cries. They all gurn about something.
They all end up crying. Yeah. But the problem is you become a victim of your own success. The more you can cry, the more they give you. You know, the more you end up crying. So you're better off being rubbish at crying in the first place, and they won't give it you.
Yeah, maybe. Well, I don't know. Are there many happy rules in EastEnders, you know?
Oh, I don't know. No, it's doom and gloom.
It's a bit late on the comedy, isn't it? You know?
I suppose you've got to go to Coronation Street for that, really.
Yeah. But then Jack Duckworth and Vera have gone. God bless them. So there's, you know, most of the comedy turns have gone now. But I mean, okay, the part of Lisa opened a lot of doors for you. Was that the best thing about that?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely put me more on the map. I mean, I'd kind of had a break with Press Gang, which was a really good kids series when I was slightly younger. And I did a sitcom with Paul Nicholas playing his daughter and stuff. So I'd kind of had a little semi-breaks. And then that was the big break, really, for me, obviously, at EastEnders. And I was there for 5 years on and off. And it does open doors and it puts you on the map. But at the same time, you can also kind of be, you can be typecast slightly and people only see you possibly as Lisa, you know, and I've been at the show 10 years now and people still will come up and call me Lisa and still obviously, you know, relatively recognisable as that character. But as an actor, that's what you kind of take that and you go, you jump for joy and say, yippee, you kind of hit the big time and stuff. But it has led me to things like Hairspray now, you know.
Well, I wanted to ask you, because you were sort of famous from EastEnders, when you go for an audition in something like Hairspray, are you automatically a shoo-in for the role because, well, you've got a big profile?
Well,
Do you think?
Well, they kind of, I think with some of the characters in shows, they want people with a profile. So there is a bit of a foot in the door, really. But I think you've still got to be able to kind of turn up and prove your worth. You know, they're not just going to give it you just because, you know, your bum's on seats or such, you know. And I have been 10 years out of EastEnders, really. But so I did have to go in and prove that I could sing and dance a bit and I could, you know,
and do you do an X Factor style audition kind of thing?
It really was an X Factor style audition. I did two big auditions for Hairspray, and my second one was in front of all the big producers, and there was an American director that came over and all sat behind a desk, and the MD and the assistant MD, and it was petrifying.
I was gonna say, it sounds scary.
It's petrifying, you know. I mean, I had a bit of practice with that because I did Celebrity X Factor the one year, but you know, and seeing Simon Cowell and Sharon Osbourne and Louis Walsh was pretty nerve-wracking. So, you know, that's quite a good testing ground really for me. But there's nothing that, I mean, it doesn't get easier going for those sort of auditions. It's horrifying, really, and you're so glad when it's over and done with.
I suppose from their point of view, it's a massive production. When I read the programme and saw how many people are involved in staging this, there's big money involved, so they have to get it right
who they cast. Yeah, they've really got to make sure they've cast it all right. And I think I've got to say, I mean, Mark Benton, Marcus Collins, you've got Paul Ryder, Gemma Sutton, the kids are just all... Well, everyone is really, really good in it. You know, the casting director's done a brilliant job. But there's a lot of money riding on it, like you say. And with this production, there's no scaling down. It's exactly the same show that was in the West End. And it's as big as that. So, you know, they have to kind of get it right. They have to.
My wife and daughter went to see it last week and just couldn't speak highly enough of it. Said it was absolutely terrific.
Well, I mean, that's the feedback that we're getting, which is fantastic, that everyone appears to really, really enjoy it. And the audience are on their feet at the end and all having a ball. And we've had great reviews. So fingers crossed it's going to continue that way, really.
Yeah. You play a baddie, basically.
I do. Yeah. It's fabulous.
How does that sit with you? Do you like that?
Yeah. I love it. She's
a really despicable kind of person.
She's revolting. You know? Yeah. She's just revolting. Velma von Tussle, she's the producer of the TV station where all these kids are doing this kind of pageant talent competition. And she's a pushy mother at her worst. She's a racist. She's stuck in this kind of time warp, refusing to change.
Yeah.
And she just says things that are just unbelievable and thinks she can get away with it. She does kind of have a demise at the end of it, but it's just as an actress, a great thing to play. And it's so different to anything I've ever done before, which is brilliant.
Yeah. What is the bit? I did mention you before we came on air. Well, you are sort of shaking around on the floor or something. What happens there? My daughter commented on it.
Yeah. It's kind of when she gets the news that she's landed a new job, running this makeup brand for black people, and to her horror, that's not the news she expected to hear. So she kind of collapses in a bit of a heap, really. And hence then the shaking starts and the convulsing and the fitting and everything. People have said to me they think it looks like I've got some sort of disc on my stomach or I'm on a bit of a rotating plate on the stage, but it's actually all me just
I'm sorry
shaking.
To detract from all your years of theatre school and everything else and all your experience that my daughter has sort of put it down to a review about. She says, how did she do that?
I love that she remembers with that. I'm really pleased.
No, that was so the things that kids pick up on, you know. I know that I was discussing the it's a hefty engagement for you to take on as an actress, because 9 months on the road, basically.
A 9 month tour, which is fantastic to kind of be involved in a fabulous show like that for that amount of time. But on the flip side of that, you know, I have got a young family, and when I was offered the job, that was kind of the big question as to whether it was doable with a 2-year-old and a 6-year-old. And at one point I thought, I don't think I can do it. But actually, with the support of my husband and grandparents, we're kind of getting through it and we're doing it. The 2-year-old comes on the road.
Was there a lot of soul searching, you know, for you and your husband, for instance, when the role came in, and you think, oh, can I take it?
Or? Well, I'd always kind of said to my agent, I can't tour, so don't send me for any tours. You know, cut to, he says, I've got your fabulous audition for Hairspray. Okay, I'll go, I say, you know. So everything goes out of the window, really. And then just the fact that it's such a great part and it's such a great show, I really had to kind of put aside that whole I'm not touring business and realistically look at the schedule and just see if it could work. And as I say, my husband was really supportive and said, I think you've got to go for it, really. And because if I didn't do it, there'd be a million other people, girls stepping up to the mark and wanting to take the part. And that's, you know, that's the beast of the business, really.
Well, it's the actor's life kind of thing. You know, you take the work where it is.
You have to, really. And I think with my youngest being 2, I just thought it was probably the best time to do it before she started school as well. So I could take her with me, with one of the grandmas, and at least I'd have one of my girls with me. And then
anyone who's had a 2-year-old, so the terrible 2s are kicking in. God, and you take a 2-year-old on tour.
I've just literally left the apartment I'm staying in at the moment, and she's throwing knives and forks out the drawers, the wooden spoons are on the floor, the saucepans are out the cupboards, kicking her legs and screaming, and I've just left it to grandma. I said, I've got to go off to work.
Well, the family support network is working brilliantly.
It's crucial, and they're just brilliant, really. Are all hands on deck, it's been.
So this lasts another couple of months. Do you have any idea? I know I ask actors this all the time, and a lot of people find it hard to believe that maybe at the end of, you know, the current run, a lot of actors and actresses will say, I don't know what's next.
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't?
No, what we now, mid-June. So I've got Hairspray till the end of September. So I imagine come late August time, then I might know a little bit more about what I'm doing. But currently, I have no idea what's around the corner. Yeah.
Does it help when you're involved with a successful show like this? Does it sort of give you more brownie points when people are casting other plays?
I suppose what's good is if, say, for example, an audition came up for me now, what's lovely is your confidence when you go in for an audition. You say, oh, I'm busy working at the moment. I'm Hairspray touring. And so that always kind of, that helps you personally, I think, get it. And I think people are impressed that you're busy and you've got an extra thing on your CV. I suppose it does, really.
Have you gone to auditions? I mean, a long time ago when you really honestly didn't have 2 quid in your pocket and you really needed a job.
Before I got EastEnders, I was kind of like that. I was working for my dad as a white van driver because I just down at Heathrow Airport, I just didn't know what to do. You know, all I've ever done is acting and singing and dancing, because that's where I went to theatre school, and I just thought, I don't know how I'm going to kind of survive, and begged my dad to give me a little job, and was skint, and then EastEnders came up, and then everything turns around again. You just never ever ever know what's going to happen next or how it's going to be, and things can just change, you know, and the flick of a switch, really.
Yeah, well, happily you're part of a brilliant show at the moment. It says here, ask Lucy, is she a happy hammer? You're West Ham fan?
West Ham?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, you Irons.
Oh, right. So Sam Allardyce's the man in charge now, isn't he?
Well, yeah. Yes, he is. Yeah, I mean, it's my husband's a really big West Ham fan, and I have been a season ticket holder in the past. So yeah, I mean, I have no choice but to support West Ham, really, because it's just in our household constantly, and talk sport and all this,
it's like religion.
And,
yeah.
Oh, you know, my husband, that's all we listen to in the car. But yeah, so that's the team for me. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just no. That's good. Quite
is that all right? Because,
No. Love that you're interested in football and everything else. And of course you got the best out of Andy Carroll. That, you know.
Yeah, we
did. Liverpool let him go, but you got him.
Well, we've got him.
You know, yeah.
We've got him. If somebody else doesn't want him, we'll have him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Well, listen, I got to go. Lucy, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
When is the show on till? Is it this
We finish in
Saturday?
Belfast on Saturday. So people have got kind of the rest of the week to come and see us here. And then we're off to Cardiff. And then we're back in Dublin at some point in the next few weeks, I think.
Yeah, you're all over the place.
All over the place.
Some travelling. Listen, Lucy, thanks for coming in. I know you're very busy. I appreciate you coming in to see us today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks.
Thank you. We're going to, what are we are going to play is a wee mix of some of the music from Hairspray, folks, just to, you know, entice you further.
That I'm your man and you're my girl. That I'm the sea and you're the pearl. It takes two, babe.